The Gorecast is brought to you by American Horrors, the greatest uncut horror channel in the world. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all horror. As well as the station of decapitation, Without Your Head.
America's longest running horror channel, www.withoutyourhead.com.
The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
What's up, Gorecasters? Welcome here to the Gorecast with me, Johnny Deadly, and many other people as we sit on a monumental day. A day that is Monday, that we're normally not on here doing a podcast, but we are this Monday, as it's a very special time, as we're sitting down with our guests from the movie Hell Nurse, about a nurse who goes through hell, and many other people go through hell as a repercussion of it. We have Bobby Blood, and we have, you're going to have to say your first name for me, there's been Marcella?
Mercala.
Karnstein from the movie. Mercala plays Hell Nurse, and Bobby Blood is the director. Welcome to the Gorecast, guys. How are you?
Thanks.
Hello.
All right. Chat's been looking forward for this interview, so thanks for doing it, guys.
So.
Thanks for having us.
We've been talking about it all month, you know.
So, Hell Nurse, it's a roller coaster of a story, to say the least. What made you come up with an idea? Where did the roots of Hell Nurse come from?
I mean, I've always liked those like old grinds, those like old grindhouse exploitation type of films. So I kind of had this film written, and it wasn't really written as a film yet, but I had the story written down. I'll do that. I'll write things and kind of put them aside. But I didn't think I would ever get anybody that would play that role and do that, you know, any of those roles, a lot of them. So one day she called me, and she said something like, "Hey, I have this. Have you ever thought of doing a horror film where there was a female killer?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I actually have an idea for that. But nobody would ever do it." She's like, "Well, I'll do it." And I was like, "You don't know what it is." And I told her what it is. And she's like, "I'll do that. I don't care." I was like, "All right, let's do it." So, put it into script and went through some months trying to find people who would do those other roles, you know. And that's where it came from, though. It was kind of like half and half, both of our ideas.
It's nice when you have when two people kind of just unexpectedly come together in a merger of creative styles, I suppose, would be a good way of putting it.
Yeah, that was actually one of my questions. I was going to ask how you got involved, but you did a perfect job answering one of my questions. So.
Both of their stories found each other.
Yes. Let's see. Where are other questions? I need to have somebody else write my notes for me. I say this every interview because I don't know.
Could just tighten that on you.
I need to do something because I'm looking at my notes and I'm like, who wrote this chicken scratch?
You did.
Yeah, I know. And that's what's sad.
Anywho, well, Buzz tries to decipher some of the things that he's written down on his scribe. you mentioned about the grindhouse style that you... are obviously something very, very much in love with because it's quite prevalent in the movie. You do a really, really good job of staying true to the grind, because I'm a big grindhouse lover myself, and it just instantaneously felt grindhouse from start to finish. Did you have, kind of during the filming process, did you have anything in mind specifically to try and make that come to life a little bit more, or was it something you kind of handled in the editing?
No, it was the kind, and hey, I appreciate that. That's, to me, that's the biggest compliment. And that was our goal from the beginning. You know, that was the way it was written. It was written to be kind of predictable, which that's fun. I can't wait to hear where you thought it was going to go. But, in the editing, no, I pretty much did, you know, I've seen some reviews of the film where they said that I added like grain and all this. That's not true. She'll testify to this. I would spend hours bouncing light off ceilings and, you know, getting my camera to where it was getting natural grain. Now, don't get me wrong. There is some, you know, spots, but it's very few spots where I injected any effect. I shot it in a way, the way I did the lighting and the way I, you know, did it and all the acting, you know, my biggest fear about it was that, you know, some of the actors like Brad Stein and Analia, like they've been in some pretty, you know, big films, and the way I forced them to act, you know, the way I forced them to perform, it, you know, for somebody who doesn't understand what I'm doing or what we were going for, it's going to look like a regression for them. But in reality, they killed it. They killed her too. I mean, it was, you know, everything was to have that. So it was in the lighting, the production, and the acting, the audio, everything was, you know, we spent like five times longer getting that feel than if we would have just shot it to look modern.
It really does show, because, like, I mean, I've, as I said, I'm a big Grindhouse fan. I've seen, I can't even describe how much, but like my issue with a lot of the modern attempts at the Grindhouse is they just try to slap it on as a load of filters and color grading at the end of it. And it's like, you can tell that it's not in the film. You know what I mean?
Who did a lot of like the special effects? Cause that was one of the things I really enjoyed. I loved the special effects in this film.
Really?
Yes.
You know, we did a lot of hands-on. Now, we did try to hire people, and there was a girl. Her name was Stacia Gorosh or something. Yeah, I can't remember her last name. It's in the credits, but and she helped with some of the practical effects, but for the most part, me and her, you know, we winged it. We did hire people. We tried. It just didn't work out. In the end, we ended up doing most of this ourselves. For example, I don't want to give too much away. I'll let you guys decide what we give away. But good example is there is a part where somebody gets shot pretty graphically.
Yeah.
That was actually, we actually went out. We set up. We recreated our set out in the fields, and I took my Remington A70 and blasted a real head in the forest. But that's a real shotgun. That's all, you know, everything is as close to real as possible. And then some of the more graphic scenes toward the end, she brought the prop. She, you know, right? So
I know what prop you're talking about now. is this kind of like first time that you guys done the special effects, or is this something you guys been doing for a while, or?
I just kind of threw shit together.
Yeah, we threw it together, but don't take that as that we just did it on the spot. We did it over and over and over until it was right. So we kind of learned on the job. Yeah. YouTube's a big help, of course. But I wanted everything to look right. I wanted as few digital as possible. And in the end, we didn't have any digital really, other than, you know, a couple of green things like that. It was in-house. There was a time where she was going to, she was studying special effects. So she helped out a lot, you know, cause I'm interested in it, but I can't do that and film it, you know, especially this, because I was so particular about, you know, the way I want it to be. And she'll tell you how many nights she had to stay, you know, where I was. She had to stay over because it was already morning time. We would film until the sun came up and ruined our shots, you know. So do it over and over.
I can testify that the sun can ruin an merciful amount of filming takes. I hate it. I hate it.
So, kudos to you guys.
I got to give you props, though.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, your name's everywhere, producing, directing, camera. Like, I just can't even imagine trying to keep all of that straight while trying to get a project done.
You know, it's I didn't want it that way. Like I really have tried to bring people in to help, but because the way the film is shot is, anybody who's been to film school is just going to struggle with trying to do that. And I went to film school, of course, but if you come in and try to use any rules from school, it just goes against everything you're taught, the way we shot it, even down to the ADR, everything. So, you know, I didn't want it to be like, oh, I did this, I did that, I did that, I did that. But, it, you know.
And like you said, you had the vision of what you wanted it to look like. And unfortunately, sometimes the less cooks in the kitchen, the better the meal is going to be. Like this, for instance, you know, you got exactly what you wanted to see. You got exactly the feel for what you wanted.
Yeah, and we took our time. I finished the first version of it, and the movie wasn't long enough. The first, and I don't want to say luckily, but I just can't say luckily. COVID happened, and so I wasn't going to put the film out when everything was shut down and everybody's mind was preoccupied. So that gave us like an extra year and a half. We went back and filmed more parts, and we just kept adding and kept getting it until I was ready, you know? So she went through, no actors are going to do all the shit she did, you know? We committed crimes making the film. That's legitimate.
I've heard about that. I was going to ask you about that because I know you were telling me that there's a lot of stories about the making of this movie, and that was one of the things that I was going to ask you, if there was any particular ones you wanted to share with the audience that you can share, legally that you can share.
we don't give a fuck. We'll tell it all.
For one of the hospital scenes, we actually broke into a real abandoned hospital that we found. We saw around, and we were just going to do outside shots. And so we were just kind of circling the premise, like checking it out. We're like, oh, that's a cool shot, some cool shit over there. We found the back entrance to where the morgue was. No, and like, that's pretty badass.
She found it. I'm not going to go around checking doors. This one.
Well, people on the roof, and I'm like, how the fuck did they get up there? Sorry. And I'm like, I know they got somehow fucking around trying to open all these doors.
And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I hope one's not open because I don't want to get my cameras confiscated. And I don't want to get arrested.
If you find an open door, you're just entering. You're not breaking and entering.
You know, legally, he's technically correct. Yep. But I mean, like, that's I've shot a load of like low budget short stuff as well. I mean, like, that's an inherent part of guerrilla filmmaking, is you have to find stuff that suits your purpose and try and make it work. Something you mentioned earlier that I wanted to touch back on in relation to the grindhouse thing, you were talking about you were doing the ADR in a specific way. Did you choose to do the ADR specifically to fit in with the kind of the grindhouse vibe, or was it also a necessity?
It was to fit in. So my concept with that was, you know, if you do ADR and you intentionally make it not match, it's not, none of it's going to match, you know, but if you do it, you spend the time and really try to make it match, then it's only going to not match in the perfect spots. And that's what I did. I spent months trying to line it up as perfect as I could, and of course it's impossible, and that's how those films were made. And the best ones, you know, they're not going to be just completely off unless it was, you know, a different language or something. But it was done in a way that I knew that it would be off a little bit, but I still tried my very best to make it match perfectly, knowing that that would give it the most realistic feel of those old films. And then you'll notice too, obviously, like, the audio is way too clear for what's going on, you know, and that's how they tell a lot of those words. Like,
I actually cannot fault the meticulousness you put into keeping the grindhouse vibe going. Like, it everything was perfectly imperfect, I suppose, would be the good way of putting it.
because of the way
friends.
I think actually the hardest part was trying to repeat the lines in a way that they would match up the last time we filmed them, so it matched with all the voice recording. Because you would say, turn a head a different way, or you know, and you'd have to keep doing it till it looked the same.
Yeah, I think ADR is a ball breaker.
I think because of the way that you did it, there were times when I was, because I'm used to certain grindhouse movies like Dario Argento stuff, whereby it is dubbed over, and you can see, you know, like you were saying, the audio sounds too perfect for what you're seeing, but it's made up for by the fact that you're hearing English and they're speaking a different thing. There were times when I was kind of sitting there going, nope, they are still speaking English. It's just your brain telling you that it's not an art, you know, it's not one of those kind of films, but it is.
The brain will compensate for it, and you'll and it'll give you a vibe that you don't even realize you're getting. You guys get it because you watch these, you understand these movies. So, and I put these guys through the ringer. It wasn't like, you know, I mean, we're talking hours, each one of them. And, you know, like, again, like the other actors, like Nalia Shakirova, Brad Stein, Julianne Phillips, they're used to, you know, a very certain way the films are shot. And it just went against, you know, like Brad Stein, for example, he's like a total pro. Every scene, you know, he gets himself all worked up and everything, and his audio in the live shots matches the energy of the shot perfectly. Then when you have to go back and overdub it, he's trying to match it, and it was so frustrating for him. And I felt bad because it's like, man, I'm fucking up this dude's acting ability, you know, because it's going against everything he does. And I know that he still messaged me sometimes, hey man, like, there's this one part in there, it doesn't quite match. I'm like, bro, it's supposed to be that way, you know. It's a struggle.
It's I suppose when you're used to being kind of, when you're used to being kind of dealing with like normal production, like normal styled productions and things like that, it can throw you askew. Like, there's a reason grindhouse was such a kind of a special genre in cinema, you know, because it really, you can watch a lot of movies from over the years, and outside of just kind of the film quality changing, you know, they're all kind of the same movies. But like, you can put a grindhouse movie on, and before the intro titles are finished, you know, you're like, okay, I'm getting me some grindhouse action tonight. Awesome, you know.
Was there any inspiration for the way that you played Hell Nurse at all, or did you just kind of go with the flow? Or
I think for me, it was kind of channeling all that deep-seated anger towards men and other people in general. You're so your shit.
I can't. Like, this phone doesn't have a volume.
Initiating system one. Channeling a lot of like real bitterness and anger, and you know, shit. If I could do real life and get away with like.
Actually, it was at the start. Some of your earlier scenes, especially when in the hospital, and the fact that you never looked anybody in the eye. Your head was always downcast. Even your body language was very submissive, I suppose, is the best way of putting it. You know, just the way that you're portrayed is kind of like, I just want to fit in. I just want to be left alone and just leave me alone and let me do stuff. And yeah, and then the shift then when things change is just, and now the violence. It's just,
that was exactly how I wanted it to feel, which is somebody who had always been taken advantage of, someone who had been very submissive and just beaten down, coming back, and something did switch. And she decided, fuck this, no more.
I didn't direct 90% of that. She just took over that role, and it was like, I was filming it, and I'm watching the movie come to life. You know, I'm like, fuck, this is perfect. Like, so many nights, I'd be like, dude, that was perfect. I love the way, like, she just took it over and just did. She became that character, you know? It was fucking perfect.
Yeah, I love that character. I feel very.
But that's like a really good director actor dynamic. Like, I mean, the director's job is to kind of lay out the storyline of the story and stuff and make sure that it looks good and does what it's supposed to do, but the actor or actress is supposed to be the one who, you know, brings it all to life and really becomes the character, you know. And you did that. You did a great job at you feel for her as the movie's going on, because your character goes through, she doesn't have an easy time at the start of the movie.
No.
At all, to say the least. How did you find it getting into some of those kind of grittier scenes? I'm a wordsmith.
When you the whole layout, I was like, I can do this. I'm like, what? How much were you talking? How graphic are we talking? How brutal? And he's like, as much as you can take. And I'm like, fuck it. All right, let's do it. I actually didn't feel like it was aggressive enough. I felt like it could have been a little bit harder.
To the point where you need safe words.
Oh, yes.
Well, jump in. Someone had to say it. We all knew it was going to be me.
Sadly, we all knew it was going to be you. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I gotta give props though, because you know those scenes can't be comfortable. But to be able to just, you know, jump into a role knowing what you're about to get into, and doing just the great job that you did with, like, not only your scenes but your character. It, you know, it's, again, it's that it pulls off a greater picture when this whole thing's put together, kind of thing.
Thank you.
Doing the festival run right now, isn't it?
Yeah, we're spending this year doing the festivals, and then you know, any film festivals that we get accepted into. I only put in for 7. And we've already gotten accepted to, you know, as far as what's been announced, we've already been accepted to every one of them I put in for, which is like unbelievable, you know, it's amazing. But the next one is next month. It's just not public, and it's in Canada. So right now we're doing the film festival circuit. By the end of the year, but probably even by the summer, I will have signed, I should have signed a distro deal. I have 2 on the table. I have one that I really like. There's just a few little things in it that we're gonna have to counter it. But yeah, right now we're gonna promote it. Her and I will be at a couple of different places together this year, a couple of festivals. So right now we're just doing
promo. How do you feel like the reception so far is coming from the movie? Like, how people are liking it and stuff like that?
It's been a lot better than I thought. We did 3 test screenings. We did 1 here in Vegas, which was awesome, right? And it was full. We had the Galaxy Theater in the one of the casinos, and it was packed, and that was a lot of people that we knew, so we kind of, you know, your friends are going to tell you great. But then the next week it was in Arizona, where I didn't know anybody, and that one did really well. It did really good, to the point where I had to do like a impromptu Q&A afterwards, because there was a bunch of filmmakers showed up, and they were asking me the questions about what effects that I used, what Adobe After Effects that I used for this and that. I was like, I didn't use that, you know? And I did one in Germany. I did one in Trier, Germany, and that one was pretty cool too. And that was a really impromptu one that got scheduled the same day that we did it. And those they went really well. And then as far as the reviews we've gotten, you know, I've sent screen to different, you know, reviewers and different distributors. You know, a lot of people get it the way you guys get it. They understand it. Some people don't. Some people probably just look at it and think, well, this is shot horribly, you know, expecting it to have, not knowing what I was really trying to do, you know. But the reception has been great. For the audience we intended for, it's going great. And the festival that we're in next month, I can't wait to announce it, like as soon as it goes public. That's the one I wanted more than any of them. And we're going to actually world premiere the film at that festival. Like, so we did the test screenings. After test screenings, you change things, you know, a little. It's like, I'll watch the audience, give a little feedback, change a few things, drag her out to the mountains to do more shit, you know. And then I finally went to, finally, you know, ready where I was satisfied with it. Then I started sending it to distributors and stuff. So, but nobody has seen that full version except for what you guys saw it. And the distributors and reviewers. That's it.
I don't think I've even seen that.
Do all the time, like, hey, I changed this. This has been going on for years.
Yeah.
Hey, I changed this. She's probably like, dude, like, I just want to see the film. Like, when's it going to be done?
Not yet. Well,
speaking of people wanting to see the film, we're going to take a quick ad break where we're going to cut to the trailer for Hell on Earth so everyone in the chat can see what we're actually talking about. And we'll be back where we're going to chat a little bit more about the backstage antics to Hell on Earth. We'll see you in a couple of minutes. Bye.
Hell on Earth. Darla Perkins is young, happy, ambitious, a determined nursing student, moonlighting as a caretaker in a quiet mountain town.
I'm not a nurse yet, but I will be soon. May I help you?
One October night,
you little bitch.
It all changed. What happened next was the worst crime in Oregon history.
I'm gonna cut you! I'm gonna cut you like a fish! Get off her!
Hell Nurse.
Look at the blood! Look at the blood!
Young Darla has been attacked, victimized, abused, again and again and again.
You've got to get up under the rim, this time and from now on.
Pushed to the point of no return.
God, I can't stand that little bitch.
Hell Nurse. Now, Darla will do whatever it takes to exact her revenge.
But you will have your revenge. And let me tell you something, it's worth spending 1,000 years in this hellhole, if that's the price you pay.
'85 Grave presents one of the most brutal and shocking tales of vengeance in the history of cinema.
You should be more concerned with why I'm alive, bitch. It's just you and I.
Oh, Jesus Christ! What the hell happened to you?
Jesus has nothing to do with it.
Asshole. Hell Nurse. 724 days, 13 hours, 43 minutes until revenge.
Please, no! I'm sorry, you crazy fucking bitch! I'm sorry! Please, no!
Hell Nurse. Darla Perkins is young, happy, ambitious, a determined nursing student, moonlighting as a caretaker in a quiet mountain town.
I'm not a nurse yet, but I will be soon. May I help you?
One October night,
you little bitch.
It all changed. What happened next was the worst crime in Oregon history.
I'm gonna cut you! I'm gonna cut you like a fish! Get off her!
Hell Nurse.
Look at
Young Darla has been attacked, victimized, abused, again and again and again.
You've got to get up under the rim, this time and from now on.
Pushed to the point of no return.
God, I can't stand that little bitch.
Hell Nurse. Now, Darla will do whatever it takes to exact her revenge.
But you will have your revenge. And let me tell you something, it's worth spending 1,000 years in this hellhole, if that's the price you pay.
85 Grave presents one of the most brutal and shocking tales of vengeance in the history of cinema.
You should be more concerned with why I'm alive, bitch. It's just you and I.
Oh, Jesus Christ! What the hell happened to you?
Jesus has nothing to do with it.
Asshole.
Hell Nurse. 724 days, 13 hours, 43 minutes until revenge.
Please, no! I'm sorry, you crazy fucking bitch! I'm sorry! Please, no!
Sorry.
And we're back from two trailers. That's like 100% more trailers than I promised you.
So good, you need to see it twice.
Character's fault. Right.
It was, my bad.
You had a valid question that you asked during the fucking ad break for some reason, so...
Because I wasn't sure if it was a subject you could approach on camera.
Right, I wasn't sure what we were giving out and what
I'm
we
I'm trying to make so an entertaining just, segue into your question, Carter. Just take the ball I'm throwing at you and hit it.
Can't catch good.
You said heat, not catch. There's your problem right there.
Oh. Yep, there we go. I don't sports well. All right.
Go sports.
one of my questions, or my question was, do you see a sequel with the way the movie ended? Are you thinking of, or, you know, like down the road, kind of want to get onto a sequel for it?
Oh, okay. When the film was written, it was written. The second part of it was written into it. So one of my favorite things that happened was when we did the screening in Vegas, there were some people who were genuinely upset that a specific character survived the film. They're like, why the hell would this character survive the film? The reason is because that's a very big part of the second part of this, and it's a much bigger story. So there's a few characters in there that were kind of almost what do you call that when somebody just makes an appearance
cameo,
in a film?
Cameo.
The kind of like, for I gotta get my feet away from this.
I feel your pain, Bobby. Don't worry. I'm forever kicking my camera as well.
There is a part two that was part of the plan all along.
Nice.
But what you see with Hell Nurse is you kind of see like part two of a three-part story.
Hmm. Okay.
There's more to come.
But the follow-up to this will show a little bit of before and a lot after. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be doing the mandatory grindhouse escalation of murders, gratuitous violence, and blood?
It's going to be way gorier than this one. Like you said, like, you know, it was going to be a lot worse, but I was a little timid about what I was putting people through. And that was my fault. If it wasn't for her, the film would have been gory. And it's pretty shot. I mean, there's a lot of taboo stuff in it. But the next one, you're going to see a low-down grindhouse film. That's going to be fucked up.
You had me. You sold me.
I'm reluctant to ask the question because I'm not sure if I can do this without spoilers. But you I mentioned earlier you took me on a swerve with the storyline at one stage because I really thought it was going one way and then it went another way. But then it kind of went back the way I thought it was going to go, but also still the other way, which I thought was very impressive because it sounds like the story's all over the place, but it so seamlessly wove in between everything. It actually threw me, but in like a really good way. I'm reluctant to get into how, because it's
so
essentially
big.
The whole plot of the movie is that,
so big.
Well, when it starts out and up to a certain point, I was getting kind of I spit in your grave vibes. Do you know what I mean? We're gonna bad things have been done. Vengeance will happen. Then it went another way, and I was like, okay, we're getting some demon stuff going on. That's gonna be good. And then it went a different way, and I was like, okay, cults. Good. And then that all merged all three stories kind of into one really graphically violent ending. I think we've lost.
Oh no. No, they're back. They're back.
We're back.
Wait, there we go.
Oh, there they are. Okay. Finally, we're both like, what's he going to say?
Well, so where did we excuse me, where did we cut off?
You had said it turned into a graphically violent and then we lost.
End. There you go.
See, it was much.
main reason I'm asking the question is, when you went into designing the story, did you have these kind of opposing but yet linear beats in mind, or was it something as you were writing it just traveled one direction and then traveled back another direction and traveled another direction?
I mean, I don't want to keep talking, you know, but a lot of what happened in the actual production of the film was her taking over the character, and I just rolled with it. She was kind of directing me and stuff.
Nice.
You know,
she's just like, nice.
You know, I was watching it unfold, and it was awesome, you know.
It definitely felt, I mean, you had an original concept, and then as we're filming, there are certain things that's, you know, like as a character in the storyline, you feel like, okay, this might be a little bit more natural for it to go in this direction, you know? So minor changes, but for the most part, it did kind of go in the direction you planned it to.
You know, well, I mean, I had the storyline, but the way she did the character, the way she like was all mousy in the beginning, and then, you know, like the transformation was not something I could have really written. I tried to, but she picked up on it because she read the script. She talked to me all the time. Well, you know, asked me questions, and she understood what I was trying to create. It wasn't like I already had that whole character created, and then she had to emulate it. I just had the idea, and she knew my idea. She read it well enough that she took over and made it happen, and it was just amazing.
Well, also,
no,
you're fine.
I'm sorry. Oh, well, I was actually I am a certified CNA. So
that helps.
That was pretty easy.
yeah, because it's hard. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know you had mentioned earlier that you had been looking to play a strong leading lady in a horror movie. Anyway, but what was it about the character of Darla when you read the script that grabbed you so much about her? Because you said you really loved the character so much.
I think a lot of it, it was just very similar to my own life experiences in some ways. I think when you've experienced certain things, you can either approach it as a victim and stay a victim, or you can overcome it and never let anything close happen again and always be aware and protect yourself. And that's what I did with my life. So it was a very empowering character for me.
Excellent. What were you going to ask, Buzz?
Well, I was going to say, when he was talking about like kind of him writing it and her doing it, it's like that's kind of how it goes, where it's like you can write something down, but it's hard. You don't know if someone's going to be able to, like, you're like, hey, I wrote it down. Do it like this. And so it really sounds like you found somebody that did it like this, and maybe did it like this more than what you expected.
Well, you know, I like I say, my explanation of the whole thing is that we kind of both made the film. You know, like it's not a normal director actor situation. We both conceptualized it. We both kind of developed the character, you know, up to a point, but she took it over. It's the same as a filmmaker. Like, I would never let somebody else edit my movie, because there's no way
see
they could
the way you do
no be better than me. I might let somebody help me with some color grading in the future or something, but as far as the way the movie flows, you know, if it takes me 5 years, I'll take it, you know. And that's the way that's the way she took it over, you know, the same way it developed on its own.
It was very organic. Also, we've been friends for like 20 years. So.
That also doesn't hurt.
No, not remotely.
It's nice when a project like that can be organic, because it's so hard to just try to force something that's not there. But when you have it organically, and it definitely shows on, like, there doesn't look like anything's forced when you watch the performance.
Cool.
Anybody else?
Johnny's busy.
Giz, Carter, do you got anything?
Unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that I wanted to ask about has already been asked by other people, like the fact of would there be a sequel and was certain stuff done intentionally to make it seem like Grindhouse. I did like that, you know, straight off from the beginning, there's never any actual dates or anything mentioned, but from the beginning it's kind of like, oh, this story is set in the 70s because this is this kind of car and this kind of TV, this type of radio, all the aesthetics are there even before the Grindhouse feel is brought into it. So it helps in a way, because when you're seeing stuff from that era along with the way that this film is shot, it does help to get a person into the Grindhouse kind of mindset, or at the very least the mindset of, okay, it's going to be a film that it's emulating this style, it's emulating the kind of movies that were around back then, and it's doing it from the very beginning. And when you said that you how you found the hospital, because there's certain scenes and it's kind of like the interior shots, is you're looking kind of going, that's that looks like a real place. And it added, once again, because of the way that the rest of the film was put together and because the way films would have been done back then, it kind of added in a way, because like that footage just looks that little bit different. And then when it's put in with the rest of it, it adds to kind of the, I don't want to say the Frankenstein feel, but it adds to the guerrilla cinema kind of aspect, whereby there are times when, you know, along with the audio, there are times when things just seem that little bit out of sync, but it still works overall towards the whole thing.
We lost about 10 seconds of that. But the magic of establishing shots.
Of the movie was filmed in his house. Like everything on this set.
Resourcefulness, your ability to adapt to a situation. That is the hallmark almost of that type of filmmaking, even back then. And that's one of the reasons why I think that people look at the grindhouse genre, knowing that the way a lot of this stuff was done, and they enjoy it so much because it's not polished, because it doesn't look like, you know, there was a major plan that was stuck to from the very beginning with some big fucking budgets, movie making company behind it. Because it looks like sometimes they adapted by the seat of their pants what they were doing to a situation, or to, hey, the lighting's gone weird, so we're going to change this a little bit, or hey, nobody knew that was here, so we're going to bring that thing in, this is going to be part of the shot, and everything.
It's what I like to call the Larry Cohen effective.
Yeah, exactly. It all adds to it, because at the end of the day, it's all about the story that you want to present. And if something happens while you're doing it that adds to the story, it adds to the feel, and it almost makes the story seem truer, regardless of the fact that it doesn't look as polished as the stuff that you'd be seeing stuck up on big budget cinemas and all the rest of it. It's just everything works better to make it feel like a work of love, basically, essentially.
And I'm glad you get it. You know, that means everything to me. You know, that whole grindhouse thing was my, you know, that's what I insisted on. It would have been so much easier to make this just like a, you know, a modern horror film. I could have finished it in 6 months. And kind of back to the thing where we're talking about, you know, the different sets and stuff. That cathedral scene, that was not a set. I don't know. Did you see that part?
Yeah.
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 That's a real cathedral in LA. And that's what she had to do.
The most awkward part of that is that there was like little old ladies.
She's really feeling Jesus.
Can I get an amen? Nope.
The Holy Spirit has came to her. I mean,
yeah.
It reminds me of the 70s, Noreen.
It's like the thing from what the hell is that movie with I forget it. I don't know the movies and the names and the people, so you're not going to get the reference I was going to make.
Good job, Buzz.
Moving on. Thank you.
Well done, Buzz.
I confused
everyone. But you know what, though? Like, working with what you got and shooting how you have to shoot, it comes up with some of the best stories that back up the movie. You know what I mean? Like, you get an awesome movie, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, we had to do this, we had to do that. Sometimes those are the best films and the best stories.
There's unlimited stuff, you know, that we can talk about when it comes to that stuff. And a good example, you mentioned a minute ago that it never mentions it never says the time, like the date or anything, but there are clues in there that will tell you exactly what date it is. Everything in this movie, and I mean everything.
Yeah, Death Wish. Because Death Wish was just about to come out in the cinema. I actually was going to go back and check it. Going to go, oh, it took place this time. Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
Actually figure out the exact date of everything by the cemetery scene and by the full moons. So I know this is crazy, but this is how what I mean. Everything means something. If you was to look on a calendar of when there was full moons in certain years, you will be able to know, because you already know what month it is and it's a full moon and you know what year it is, you'll be able to figure out exactly what date everything happened based on the full moon.
That is fucking ridiculous.
That is brilliant.
Like, in a good way. That is actually fucking really.
Wow.
I was just gonna figure out the Death Wish thing and then add on the days.
You thought you were so good with your Death Wish, and he's all about full moons and fucking.
That is,
it's more
that
than
is
you
so
fucking
brilliant.
Got, mister, so.
I can't even.
You know, the funny part about the Death Wish is that part where what he's saying is actually, that's a little Easter egg I put in there. That's actually subconsciously letting the audience know what's about to, what she's about to do, what's about to happen with her.
Nice. We are hitting the tip of the show, guys. An hour has flown by oh so fast. Going to say thank you very much to everyone from Hell Nurse for joining us. And when the movie gets released, by all means, please come back on the show and we'll have more chats and shenanigans. But before we go, as per usual, Buzz has scoured the internet to find... What have you got me this week? What is it?
Laws.
Oh, I love laws. You know that. I'm for and against them all at the same time. One of these.
I'm for rules. I'm against laws. There's a big difference.
Yes. I'm glad you established that, Kiss. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right. So first weird law from around the world. No shirtless driving in Thailand. Driving a car shirtless is considered offensive in Thailand. Motorists need to ensure they are wearing a shirt no matter how hot the weather or their abs are.
You
I don't need to worry about if a country's that hot. A, I won't be in it, and B, I don't have abs to be worrying about how hot they are. It's against the law to play too many non-Canadian artists on Canadian radio. Canadians are very...
Actually, to be fair, hang on.
I think that's most countries, isn't it?
There's something similar in Ireland whereby if a station...
It's actually a high number, though.
Yeah, boy, what's their number?
35%.
No, that actually sounds about right.
Canadians are a patriotic bunch. This is the primary reason for the fact Canadian radio stations are required by law to play artists for 35% of the time, with a special emphasis placed on the weekends during working hours.
I don't know if it's that specific in Ireland, but there's definitely...
If you have any complaints, bring it up to Google, because that's where I looked, so I didn't make it up.
If you have any complaints, it sounds like talk to Canada. If anything.
Blame Canada! Right. Blame Canada!
It's illegal to pass wind in public places after 6 p.m. on Thursdays in Florida. One weird law that's since been long forgotten.
Oddly specific.
I don't know what the... I'm sure they'll... Jesus Christ, Buzz, you sure picked some long things. God, I missed the dating profiles, bro. One weird law that's since been long forgotten is that it's illegal to pass wind in Florida after 6 p.m. on a Thursday. It's never really been enforced in Florida, but it was probably written in the 1800s. It's not clear why this ever became a law or a rumored law in the first place. There's probably a good opportunity here for an aspiring lawyer to practice these debating skills, though see our skills advice for aspiring lawyers. My God, I'm just going to cut that off there.
Yeah,
don't fart after 6 p.m. on a Thursday in Florida, guys, just to let you know.
That sounds like one of those laws that got brought in by somebody rich who got offended by something stupid.
And someone farted in front of a judge on the wrong day at the wrong time. One would say specifically Thursday at 6 p.m.
Time, though.
And you made sure it would never happen again. It's illegal to hold salmon under suspicious circumstances.
Just leave it at that. It's better not to read it.
Section 32 of the Salmon Act 1986 stipulates that it is an offence to handle a salmon under suspicious circumstances. The section creates an offence in England and Wales, that explains a lot, for any person who receives or disposes of any salmon in circumstances where they believe or could reasonably believe that the salmon has been illegally fished.
It's a poaching law.
That's exceptionally disappointing compared to where I thought this was going. Look, I'll be blunt. I thought someone was face fucking a salmon, guys. That's where I thought this was going to go.
I thought somebody was walking around just like laying hands on somebody with a salmon, dude. Like just
slapping him in the
salmon attack.
It is a legal requirement to smile at all times except at funerals and hospitals in Milan, Italy. That makes a lot of sense.
I can never go there.
You'd combust. And then that's back to the dating profiles. How are you getting on, Morgan? Yeah. Well done. How's she cutting? All right, guys, that's it from us for tonight. Yet again, thank you to Bobby Blood and the wonderful Darla Perkins from Hell Nurse. And we will catch you all Thursday. Yes, Thursday, where we're going to be talking about movies. I've forgotten what days are what now. Thursday. I should remember because I can't fart after 6 p.m. We'll catch you during the week. See you later, guys. Bye.